Sharp, there's more in 20 minutes.
On 104.2 FM in Dungeness, Herne Bay and Folkestone, and 96.7 FM in the West.
This is BBC Radio Kent. Breakfast on BBC Radio Kent with John Warnett and Maggie Doyle.
NHS figures reveal hundreds of people with diabetes in Kent underwent amputations in the past 3 years. Well, Jeff Whittington from Ashford had type 2 diabetes and transformed his life by changing his diet and taking up cycling.
I was 20 stone in weight. I knew I had diabetes. I'd had it for over 10 years. And it wasn't until I was actually told that I had Charcot's foot, my foot basically collapsed, and I was told this was due to diabetes. And I also was getting ulcers on my other foot. At that time, I was told these ulcers could get worse, and the next step would be amputation.
BBC Radio Kent Breakfast. Back tomorrow from 6.
Drive Time on BBC Radio Kent. The conversation with author Miriam McGurk and brand manager Chris Pollard. They're a husband and wife team from Maidstone, and they're back with us on the programme for their second visit, which is great because it means they enjoyed themselves last time. Either that or they just felt they had to come back and it was really awkward to say no. Hello, how are you both?
Hello, Dominic. Dominic, you're like a magnet. And may I just say, in my old life, I judged men by their shoes. And
oh,
last
no.
Friday,
no.
Yes, I heard you talking about laces. So it's all changed and it's all about the laces. What have you got to say about that?
That's a very good point. Yeah, on Thursday's programme, I remember saying it, we had... thanks, Miriam. I came into work wearing some trainers that were... wearing some trainers which were... double laced, and I thought it was maybe possibly a bit of a fashion statement. It seems that not everyone else thought that. Now, Chris, be on my side. What did you think when you saw my double laced trainers?
I was a little concerned, actually, Dominic, to be frank with you. As I was talking to you earlier, I have on this evening boots which have got 2 zips on each boot.
Well, that's okay then. So you're more akin to me than you thought.
I probably am.
Yeah, there we go. But was it a fashion faux pas? I was told by the whole team it was a fashion faux pas. Basically, for anyone who didn't hear, I basically got them from a shop in Tenterden. They were double-laced. I was told only when I got here that one of them is a spare lace, and I really didn't need to wear both. I thought it was a fashion thing. It shows how unconnected I am with that world. And I'd been wearing them for a week. It was only on Thursday that the team decided to tell me. They're a nightmare.
How could they possibly do that? It's an absolute privilege to be back here with or without your laces.
Thanks very much indeed.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a pleasure. It's good to see you again.
And you. Now, author and brand manager, for those who haven't maybe come across you before, Miriam, you've been writing for a long time. How many books have you?
I've just completed my 4th book and I've just started the editing process, which could take a while. Editing and rewriting. But that's fine. Actually, that's when the real work begins. The easier part, and it ain't easy, folks. The really challenging is right now. So this is my 4th book. I've been writing full time for 12 years and finally published my first book 4 years ago. So it's been a little bit of a journey, but a good one.
And Chris, with your media background and the work you do, you ultimately represent your wife and manage brand Miriam.
Yes, I do, actually. It works very well between us. We're very lucky because some husbands and wives cannot work together. But Miriam and I, we understand each other. We get very passionate about it sometimes and we will have a few words, but we sit down every day and we will look at what we've decided is going to go out that day. Yeah. And then we will look at the wording and we ensure that everything that goes out is akin to what Miriam wants to do to develop her brand.
I bet Miriam wins.
Every time.
Well, it's important to set boundaries, Dominic,
time.
Don't you think?
Let's start off together then, talking about our pets, our loved furry creatures. So many people tonight have contacted the programme. I'm so grateful, as always. This wonderful story of a little boy with autism who cannot be touched but was able to hug his service dog for the first time. We mentioned about him on the programme. What is it about your pet that makes you happy? What difference have they made in your life? Thanks all so much for your messages. I want to read out some of them tonight on the programme. Clive from Newchurch: having 2 dogs, it's nice when you walk in, through the door. They want to see you. It's like you've been away for years. The fact that no matter what they do, they want to be close to you. And it's funny, you know, I know that feeling because with my two dogs, my boys, I can go out for like 10 minutes and they treat it like I've been out for ages. And I'm like, wow, guys, I've just been out for a few minutes. Rachel in Folkestone says, I want to cuddle all the animals you've been talking about on the programme. I don't have pets as husband has allergies and they're horrendous for him. But I love all of the animals that I'm seeing. If you go to our Facebook page at BBC Radio Kent Official, we put up a gallery of all of the dogs and cats and pets that have been sent into the programme tonight. Keep those messages coming in. We'll read some more on the way. So to you both, Chris, an adoring look is how you described it to me about the animals that you've had in your life.
Yes, well, I was looking at your two on Facebook.
Toby and Smudge.
Toby and Smudge, great names. Well, yes, Miriam and I have had a couple of dogs, one of whom is still alive. The first one out in Turkey was Martha, and we rescued Martha. She was about 10 years of age. She'd been wandering around the village, and she just used to wander up to the house every day. And eventually we started to feed her, and eventually she moved in. And then about 4 years later, one morning, I went out to the chicken to see the chickens. We had two chickens, Matty and Beatrice. And they had a small hut, about 3 foot by 2 foot. And there, sitting at the front, out of the cold, was this skeletal black, white and tan dog, shivering, wagging her tail. Now, we had one dog, and I was very wary about rescuing another dog. So I must be honest, I shooed her away. But she came back and we gave her a meal the following morning because she was back in with the chickens again. The chickens were terrified.
Yes. I bet they were.
But she wasn't bothered. We gave her a meal. She's still with us 12 years on.
Yes.
And we named her Selena.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, think chicken. You know the, what was it called? Chicken Run? The animated cartoon. Well, you remember the chickens when they were shocked, that look? That's how the chickens were. Because Selena, and to this day, the chickens are not bothered in any way by Selena wandering around. Not bothered at all.
Nor is she bothered about them.
No, fantastic. And actually, having Martha and Selena helped me overcome my fear of dogs. Because as a child, I had been bitten so many times. So I had a real fear. But thanks to them.
But I think just on that point, rescue dogs. There is something about the way they look at you. I put on Facebook this afternoon. It's like every time they look at you, they're saying thank you.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yes. Lisa in Dungeness says, my darlings are two very funny and naughty Indian runner ducks. What? Gwendolyn and Wilfred, who I hand-raised last year. What makes them so special, Dom, is that they both had a difficult start to life and we nearly lost them. I had a third little duckling who I called Frida, but sadly she didn't make it. Playing mum to a pair of tiny ducklings, carrying them around in my pocket to keep them warm, hand-feeding them every hour on the hour, and teaching them to preen and Gwen how to walk, or should I say waddle, as she was born lame. Both faced being put to sleep, so I took them on, believing they were coming home and me to you know, with me really, to pass away naturally. Now I have two strapping, great, funny and naughty little darlings who I would go to the moon and back for. Dom, they make me laugh and they make me curse in equal measure. They come for a cuddle regularly. They run riot through the garden. And if the back door is ajar, she goes on to say, they push it open and run into the kitchen to be with me whilst I'm making cakes. I love that.
What
it's not just
beautiful story.
It's just not always dogs and cats.
No, no.
That's very
actually
true.
I read a story yesterday, a lady called Sam who had a horrific accident and was paralysed from the chest down. And what did they adapt or came into her life and really helped her heal and recover? Would you believe a baby magpie that had fallen from a tree?
A baby magpie?
A baby magpie. And she reared the magpie. And when it was ready and the time was right and she had healed and to start living a different life, the magpie left. But lovely story.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
those little
yeah.
moments in life that just really, really change everything. Because, you know, we have our busy lives, don't we? And then
yeah.
and then sometimes it can be that creature that does so much. Marlo in Greenhithe says, my Frenchie, Harold, he is all for me. I guess it's a dog.
Yes.
Always up for a cuddle and play. He had an operation at the Queen Mum Hospital 4 weeks ago. I had an operation for 4 weeks ago and slipped a disc. And I think that's obviously really helped. Bob says, my cat is Prince Claude Debussy. No, sorry. Claude de Poussy. genuine feline royalty. He graciously allows us to attend his needs. Cats are funny things. I had cats. Yeah. Oh, no, Chris, you're shaking your head. Are you not a cat man?
I'm not a cat person. I'm a dog man. But they love me. Him. Whenever we're walking along the road, Miriam will say, actually, in fairness, it's both of us. We can be walking along the road
Magnets.
And they will walk. Yes, walk towards us.
Yeah. It's BBC Radio K. Thanks for all your messages. We'll try and fit some more in between now and 7 o'clock on the programme. My guests on The Conversation, author of Shattered Dreams and Scorpions at Midnight, author Miriam McGurk from Maidstone, and brand manager Chris Pollard, husband and wife from our county town. And you've just returned, as we mentioned last time when you were on with us. You're about to go, and anyone who's been a regular listener to the programme would have heard you as well on the programme, live from New York. Well, kind of live. You recorded for us, and then we played out your messages. And it was lovely to hear you on the streets of Manhattan. Do you have a lovely time?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. Would we go back? You bet we would.
It was a big anniversary.
It was our 20th wedding anniversary. So that was a great celebration. It was my first time actually to travel to New York. First time to able to travel that kind of distance in those years. So it was a hell of an experience, a hell of an adventure, all the firsts, vibrant, alive, exciting.
I was very jealous of you both. I love New York. I've been lucky enough to go there a number of times. And my favourite place on the planet, I think, or one of them, is Central Park, and I love that. And there's a great guy, and I was really hoping, I didn't get a chance to message you, but I was hoping if you're there on the Saturday, you may have seen him. But he's a guy called That Guitar Man. His name is David Ippolito. And the next time you go to New York, I want you to go and visit him. And he has been traveling to Central Park from his home in Brooklyn for many, many years. He's called That Guitar Man. Check him out on Facebook online. And what he does, it will really link into the kind of people you are and who we've already experienced, because he has this little mound at Central Park. He calls it the Hill, and he calls the people who sit there the people on the hill. And they all listen to his music, and it's his own music, and he sits there and he does it Saturday after Saturday throughout the year, and he gets his great group of people together. He's the kind of man who will literally pick up the phone, and with all the donations that people have put into his hat, he will ring up a local pizza company and use all of that money to buy everyone a pizza around him. He's such a lovely guy.
Wow.
But it got me thinking about places you go to, and places you go to, particularly in New York, which have such a special character. Mm. What was the one place that you both went to? Miriam, start with you, that you thought, that I just can't even describe it.
Well, Dominic, for me, it was Central Park.
It was that place.
It was that place. And every single day, with or without Chris, I had this need. It really was. I was just drawn to Central Park. The serenity, the calmness, the peace, the activity that's going on there. You know, from 70-something playing baseball to, as you were saying, guitar playing, group playing, gospel singers rehearsing for a big concert.
It's the whole world in one place, isn't it?
It's the whole world. You know, dressage. Oh, incredible.
What about for you, Chris?
I loved Central Park. Everything that Miriam has said, I would agree with. But probably for me, Grand Central Station.
Awesome place.
Awesome was the word I was going to use. This incredible cathedral-like building with this beautiful ornate ceiling. And then all these cafes and bars, which are lower down. Right. The busyness, the ticket and the customer service desk in the middle.
You feel like you're just stepping back in time. You feel like you could take a trip from that place and go and chase the American dream.
Yes. Yes,
it's a really amazing place.
Absolutely. And seeing all the names, you know, all the different platforms and all the different names of places where
right
the trains
back.
Go to, and the fact that they're doubling the size of it now as well. Mm. But it is, yes, awesome is exactly
magical.
The word.
Awesome.
And then you come out and you look down the street and there's the Chrysler Building.
Mm. Incredible places.
Beautiful.
The most moving for me, Dominic, I took myself off one morning. Chris wasn't able to make it in a taxi. We went down first to the One World, to the One World, as it's called now, where the original tower was.
One World Observatory.
I've actually blogged about it. I was getting up at 5 every morning to write blogs just to send out to people. But
that must have been quite an experience.
That was just so moving. We were lined up, and they called it a theatre. And this is huge music and an orator and building and building and building the atmosphere. And the next thing, all these blocks rose up and suddenly we were looking out at the world 360 degrees from Manhattan to Brooklyn to New Jersey. And it was incredible.
Those kind of trips are just incredible, aren't they? They really are. Now, you brought along something tonight, Chris. Just explain briefly what this is.
Right. This is a gentleman called John. Mm-hmm. We went on the Circle Line from Pier 83,
okay.
which is a boat trip which goes down the Hudson and takes you around the corner, around to Brooklyn Bridge, and down to the Williamsburg Bridge, mm-hmm. and then back past the Statue of Liberty again. Oh. And then we asked John if he would say a few words.
Kind. I've been more than a young man. But nonetheless, Dominic King from BBC Radio Drive Time here in Kent. When are you coming to Circle Line? I mean, we're here in New York waiting for you. So, Dominic, show up.
Now, hold on a minute. That guy is... It's Johnny Cash.
Well, that's what I thought when we listened to his voice. I mean, quite incredible.
This is very kind. I've been more than a young man. But nonetheless, Dominic King from BBC Radio Drive Time here in Kent. When are you coming to Circle Line? I mean, we're here in New York waiting for you, so...
What a great character.
He was amazing.
I mean, he is an actor.
Yeah.
He does voiceovers.
Yeah.
And what was very interesting, another interesting little fact, the Circle Line, as I said, is a boat tour that goes down the Hudson. Now, do you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, the plane that had to land on
the Hudson River?
Well, the actual boat that we were on, it landed in the Hudson opposite Pier 83, and our boat was the first boat to arrive at the plane.
That's amazing. I love that guy. We should get him to do some voiceovers for this show. He's fantastic. What a voice. Finally tonight, and we never have enough time.
No.
Finally tonight, I just wanted to touch on something, and I know this is close to your heart, but you know, a lot of those themes about the pets, funnily enough,
yes.
tonight, was about that connection you can have with an animal, and often it's to help you out of a great difficult time. And Janice in Margate, who called the show earlier, said that actually when her husband died, the cat Phoebe was there and almost just came to visit and then kept coming to visit, and it was just at the right time, just at that right moment. Anxiety is something that I know you've suffered from, and you've written about it too.
I have. And nobody would ever know, you know, the show must go on. When I became really, really ill, which is now nearly 20 years ago, my confidence and my self-esteem went out the window, and I started to suffer really badly with anxiety, panic attacks. I lived and still manage ME and fibromyalgia. I describe myself as the plant in the pot with the world going around me and me not being able to move. The anxiety from being hip and happening where it was at to nothing. And what helped my anxiety... I didn't know what to do initially. A friend of mine took my hand one day and said, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to get you to a yoga class. And that was over 19 years ago. And I had run a health club for many, many years, but I'd never actually done yoga and taken part in any of the classes. And that was the start. One of the other things that I actually did myself 10 years ago was I did first level Reiki. So breathing with yoga, that really helps with anxiety.
And that's a really interesting point about, you know, we don't often have enough time to just stop and think about it, do we? And Chris, I know for you, it was something that you also battled with yourself. Tell us your story.
Yes, anxiety played a very large part of my life up until in my early 50s. And I spoke about this about 2 weeks ago down at the Romney Resource Centre, and I went down to speak to some of the students.
And that's in New Romney, yeah.
That's right. I became aware of anxiety when I was about 11 years of age, when a turquoise piece of paper, A4 exam sheet, was put down in front of me, my 11 plus, and I couldn't understand the black writing on there or the symbols or anything. And that's when I knew I was different. Fast forward 40 years to when I was 51, and I was having a conversation one day with a lady who happened to be a teacher, and she worked with young children who had learning difficulties. And she was looking at me, and she asked me why I kept looking to her left, my right, her left. And I still do it now. I will look at the wall, say to your right, if I'm going to use a word, say disillusioned, because I'm spelling the word. Anyway, all the way through my life, I was so nervous. Everybody, like Miriam, they thought I was the life and soul of the party. But at the age of 51, I was finally diagnosed with dyslexia, and it was like someone had come along and taken a boulder off my shoulders. It answered everything why I used to have terrible stomach upsets and sweats. And yes, it was an incredible time. It was a sad time, but I realised why so many times through my life I'd gone down a road and hit a brick wall. I didn't have the confidence to go to the next level.
Stay with us on BBC Radio Kent. I'm not letting these guys go. I want to talk more with them on the way. BBC Radio Kent at